Ladies and gentlemen, and fellow golfers, for your entertainment.
It's the Golf to Go Hour with Frank LaRosa, brought to you by Hagen Oaks, America's most awarded golf facility, and Naturewood Home Furnishings, where it's all about choices and always about quality.
You're listening to the Golf to Go Radio Hour. I'm Frank LaRosa. He's Scott Marsh. And I don't know, Scott, maybe next week we'll do a best of the best show. So this could be our last show of the year, huh?
Wow, that would be something else. Quite a way to finish it. But right now, my mind is all about finishing my gift shopping, Frank. So we got to hurry this thing up.
Well, luckily, we have some answers for you. Ken Martin Jr., Director of Retail, will be with us to talk about last-minute gift shopping. Tom Johnson, PGA, is the NCPGA Player of the Year. He's a teaching professional at Olympic Club, and he has some fun stuff for us today. And Kim Kaufman is the founder of Angels for Hearts. It's a 501c3 that helps kids with cardiac conditions, and they have a golf program as well. So, you know, what I'm finding is that the game of golf, as frustrating as it is, Scott, you know, can be so good in therapy as it is for PGA Hope. And here we're going to find out today for these cardiac patients as well.
Can't wait to hear from her and just, yeah, all the good that comes from the game. And this is certainly very special. There's no doubt about it.
As I said, next week, the week between Christmas and New Year, I think we'll just put together a best of show. We've got some folks that have been on during the past year that would be fun to kind of reprise some of their interviews and kind of close out the year that way.
That sounds like a great way to close the year to me.
All right. We will be back with Mr. Ken Martin Jr. and last minute Christmas gifts right after this.
It's the Golf to Go Hour with Frank LaRosa.
You are listening to the Golf to Go Radio Hour here on Sactown Sports 1140, welcoming in Mr. Ken Martin Jr. Ken is the director of retail at the Hagen Oaks Golf Complex. And Kenny, I'm thinking that especially around this time of year, that's a pretty big job, that 15,000 square foot showroom you've got there.
We do have a lot of merchandise at the moment. So there's a nice big selection of golf stuff for the golfer in your life.
You know, retail business, everything has a SKU, and the SKU is that little tag that goes on every product. Just to kind of give us an idea, how many SKUs in your shop?
Around 24,000.
That is remarkable when you think about all of the different kinds of things that are available. Well, we want to talk to you certainly about last minute gift shopping, because I don't think we have much time left for Christmas this year, and we are right on the cusp of it, and everybody's either sitting in their warm homes happy that they've got it done, or they're going to be scurrying around in the next few moments to take care of all of those golfers on the list. And actually, when I say golfers, speaking of the Hagen Oaks Golf Super Shop, it's probably a misnomer, because you have a lot of things that that are not necessarily for golfers as well. You have a complete array of things there.
Yeah, we, especially over the last few years, as golf apparel kind of has driven more towards kind of athleisure wear, there's brands like Lululemon and Vuori that are very mainstream brands, but work equally well out on the golf course. And so we have found ourselves broadening the horizon of kind of what's appropriate out in golf wear.
You know, every year something is hot. In the past couple of years, it's been GPS units and lasers. What's the hottest gift this year?
Certainly tech is still very, very high end. We've got a couple fun ones. The Bushnell, they have a range finder that typically you have kind of had the point and click ones that have give you the yardage based on how far away you are. It has a crosshairs in the middle, and depending on where you've got it pointed at, it'll give you the exact yardage. Or you have one that follows you around via GPS and gives you real-time data. Bushnell has one that has both, which kind of seems weird at first, but there's lots of times at the golf course where you don't have visibility to the green, so you can't point and click, or you want to know how far a tree is, or how far a hazard is, or how far a bunker is, and you do want that point and click opportunity. And so it kind of gives you the best of both worlds. And then we have another new one. It's from a Scottish company called ShotScope, And same thing, both GPS and point and click. And it is very, very reasonably priced. They have units starting just a little over $100. And so it's been a big popular brand, kind of fits in a lot of people's budget.
You know, I know when Scott and I go out to play, Scott has the golf watch, which is GPS driven. And I prefer the laser to see exactly what the target is. But we will, you know, kind of check each other now and then. And it's amazing how those two totally different technologies are, you know, within a yard or two of each other every time.
Yeah, the GPS, it's, you know, as tech gets more advanced, I mean, within a foot is the measurement typically on most of those units. And thinking that satellite out there, you know, a million miles away out by the moon is actually measuring exactly where you are on the earth it's a little bit of a scary moment, but it's pretty amazing when you think about all of the different pieces that work around it.
Scott, somebody's watching you.
Well, unfortunately, my watch is set to the nearest 25 yards because I don't need foot distances. You know, it's not tracking that closely, but it
just says iron or wood, right?
Yes. Choose a club and hit it. You're fine. But it is amazing how close they are. All right, Ken, for us guys who are notorious late shoppers and just maybe even starting shopping, give us some ideas here of what we can do to grab and dash and get out.
Well, the most popular items are usually the consumables. So those are the items that everybody has. Sorry, guys.
It's all right.
Those are the ones where everybody needs to, you know, use gloves or balls. Every single golfer needs one of those. And so the Pro V1 golf balls are kind of a, you know, one that really is perceived high value and is, you know, really remarkably well received by nearly everyone universally who's a golfer. On the glove side, you do need to know a size or an approximate size. We're really easy on exchanges, and most golf shops are too, but FootJoy is the number one brand in golf gloves by far and away. So either they're weather soft or the Titleist PermaSoft glove are usually the best sellers on that. Depending on who you're buying for, though, sometimes some gag gifts can really be a fun kind of stocking stuffer if you're doing a white elephant gift, that kind of stuff. And we have a lot of crazy fun gifts in that. There's golf balls that explode, golf balls that glow, golf balls that fart. And so, you know, I think that's what Frank needs to go out and play the next time he goes out and plays golf.
Yes, exactly. I got to get that for Frank this Christmas.
There you go. There you go. We actually have a photo of Bob Hope hitting an exploding golf ball off our first tee in an event back in 1942. It's my favorite photo we have up in our restaurant. He's got that famous Bob Hope smirk, and everyone's looking down the fairway where his ball went, and there's just this cloud of smoke in front of where he just hit. But there's golf trivia. We've got all kinds of tees, but again, one that's been a really fun stocking stuffer is one that are called Tiger Tees, and it's literally Tiger Woods, and you actually tee off on top of his Nike hat. If you've got a drinker in your life, that we have actually multiple different kinds of ice cube trays, including one that'll freeze a nice big golf ball. So when you're drinking your old fashioned, you can have your large cube in your glass that you're drinking. We've got probably one of the best gag gifts that we give is one that is the golf gifts and gallery, pardon me, bathroom golf game. And you actually, like a bath mat, set up a little putting green around your toilet. And when you're sitting doing your business, you can actually practice your putting right there while you're sitting on the throne.
That is fantastic. That is good to know. And of course, more serious wise, I mean, you've got a great line of backspin apparel too for people to look fashionable.
We do. That's actually a new, some kind of a new invention for us over the last year and a half. We're part of a larger buying group, and somehow, some way, someone had the good idea that I would help design some apparel. And so, we're carrying it in about 80 stores across the United States, but it's lots of really fun, whimsical, creative ideas of like Little Green Jackets and Caddyshack Gophers. And these days with really big, bold prints kind of captivating most of the fashion that's in golf right now. There's some fun ones that usually will put a smile on your face. And the good news is they're only $40. So it's good on the pocketbook too.
We should probably actually mention, even, you know, when we get beyond Christmas, that you will do custom orders of those for tournaments and such. You large orders of shirts, but whoever the person is, it's ordering it can get involved in the design process.
Yeah, it's pretty cool actually. So especially for like businesses and staff shirts for businesses, we can actually do any design you could possibly want. So we've talked to some restaurants and had made some sushi done, some sushi designs, and some other different businesses where we actually put their logo down the placket of the shirt. And so if you ever had the idea that you wanted to be a fashion designer, here's your chance.
You know, the people don't want to make a mistake when they go out and get a gift. So certainly, as you mentioned, tees and golf balls and gloves like that, you know, work for men or women and are always pretty safe gifts. You also, if people are really scared, they can actually do a gift certificate. And that's a pretty popular item as well.
Yeah, for us, and again, any local neighborhood golf course for that matter, you know, nearly all of them will have it available for golf merchandise. But like in our facility, you can use it for anything on the property. Golf lessons are a great way to do it. Golfers, you know, you can use them for green fees, range cards, in the restaurant for lunch afterwards as well. It's again, you can make a whole day of it with just with one simple card and spend the whole day and spend it in about five different ways.
Yeah, and that's the best part about it. You don't have to get something for Christmas. You can go shop for yourself after Christmas.
Those are the best kind of gifts.
I think
right?
So. I love those gifts.
Exactly.
Mostly January is when we see all the new equipment, but has anybody come out with anything early that is still available here in December?
Yeah, we've seen a few new things. So Titleist has a brand new line of woods called TSR that have been really, really well received. And we've gotten a couple new golf balls as of late. But you're right, that we have a big industry show at the end of January called the PGA Merchandise Show in Orlando. And, nearly all of the major brands, are kind of unveiling their products right around the launch of that. So, there's new woods from Callaway and TaylorMade and Ping and Mizuno, and Cobra. And it's going to be one of the largest kind of cumulative launches that I've ever seen in my career. Everybody with COVID kind of held off and waited, and there was tons of manufacturing challenges overseas, and they just kind of all have culminated with a launch all within about a week of one another. So it's going to be a really fun time late in January, early in February, where all of these new products are going to be coming out.
And for anybody buying gifts that may think that golf can be a little technical or a little confusing, you've got a great staff there that is very friendly and very willing to spend some time and help people find the right thing.
Yeah, I appreciate that. We that's the pride of our facility is our people. We go to great lengths to try to get them as educated as they can to help the customer, you know, figure out what the best product is for them or whomever that they're buying for. And we're really easy on exchanges afterwards. But whether it be tech or golf balls or golf equipment, we have, you know, PGA golf professionals, LPGA tour players, PGA apprentices, people who have been in the business 30, 40 years that can help you with your decision.
Short of ice cream, Kenny, what do you want for Christmas?
Man, how do you bypass ice cream? That's about as good as it gets right there. So I am excited. I have a son who works for Ping Golf and another one who is an engineer in Reno, and they're both coming home for Christmas. And that's about the limit of my list. I'm going to have all my kids under one roof. So for me, that's about as great as it gets.
Sure you don't want another guitar?
Well, those will come. I actually just posted our dates for Golf and Guitars, which is on your guys' sister station.
Yes.
And for those that love music and love golf, they can mark their calendar for June 26th and 27th for Golf and Guitars number 15.
Excellent.
Ken Martin Jr., Director of Retail at the Hagen Oaks Golf Complex. Kenny, you're always a lot of fun. I appreciate your insight. You are one of the brightest minds in golf, and I think that's well-respected throughout the industry. So thanks so much for spending some time with us. We appreciate everything you have going for you there at Hagen Oaks. And as I mentioned, the documentary that you guys have done, 90 Years Young, take a look at it on YouTube, and you'll get a good idea of what Hagen Oaks means to our community. We will be back with more on the Golf to Go Radio Hour right after this.
It's the Golf to Go Hour with Frank LaRosa.
You are listening to the Golf to Go Radio Hour here on Sactown Sports 1140. I'm Frank LaRosa along with Scott Marsh, and we would like to welcome Mr. Tom Johnson, PGA. Tom is the current 2022 NCPGA Player of the Year, which means that, Scott, we need to turn our eyes when he tees off, because the way he plays is totally different than the game we play.
It means he's way better than us, but it also means that we've got to get him in our next scramble tournament.
There's a good thought. Tom, good morning. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you guys for having me.
Absolutely. You know, we just recently had the NCPGA awards banquet, and you and I had a chance to talk on stage as we presented the award and a check. And it was kind of a fun experience from my side. I really enjoy, you know, talking to the different award winners. What was it like from your point of view to be up there and in front of your peers and accept the award, and have your wife there, how'd the evening go for you?
I was definitely proud. I was glad that my two bosses could make it, and my wife also. And you know, I get a little nervous doing public speaking and that kind of stuff, but I felt like, you know, sometimes when you actually know what you're talking about, then, you know, golf and yourself, then it gets a little bit easier. And you were, you know, gracious interviewer and asked me some softball questions that I was able to hit. But no, I was just really proud and really happy with the way that the season went.
I saved all the hard questions for today.
It sounds good.
Tom is a teaching professional at Olympic Club. We were talking a little while ago about the famous burger dog at Olympic Club, but let's back up a little bit, Tom. How did you get into golf? You're a Northern California guy to start with, but when was the first time someone put a club in your hand?
Well, I have an older brother that I was really in the shadow of, and my mom thought that it would be a good idea for me to do something outside of his shadow. So she suggested to my dad that he bring me golfing, or, you know, to tag along, pull his pull cart with his work buddies, and just happened to be at Poppy Hills. I'm from Fair Oaks, suburb of Sacramento, and so we made the trip early in the morning to Poppy Hills. And, you know, I really didn't know the first thing about golf. And so when I, you know, set my eyes on the first fairway, I just couldn't believe it. I was a pretty energetic kid and liked to run around and play in parks and things. And when I saw that, I remember the mowing pattern on the first fairway looked like a big league stadium kind of thing. It was just the grass. I just wanted to get out there. And, I think, you know, maybe three holes in, my dad and his buddies could see that I was chomping at the bit, and they handed me a club, and I was like any other beginner. I just, you know, had no idea how to hold it or swing it. I might have missed, you know, but it was the hook. And at the end of the day, my dad asked me if I would like to take lessons, and I agreed, and he took me over to Hagen Oaks, and he introduced me to Tom Lopresti.
Oh yeah.
Who was in his 90s at that point, kind of a pro emeritus, and before Ken Morton. You know, Lopresti was a legend if people don't know about him, but I didn't realize how fortunate I was to have him be the one that gave me my first lesson. He showed me a bunch of pictures of pros, you know, with their big high trophy finish. And he sent me off with those pictures too. I mean, really neat black and white pictures of Ben Hogan, Greg Norman, autographed pictures too. And then he took me behind the building and he had me hitting a cardboard box with a golf club. And the box stopped the club. And then he says, "No, big high finish. Come on, trophy finish." And I'm like 10 years old trying to, the box stuck to my club, trying to hoist it over my head. And I think I accomplished the feat. And that was the first lesson, was to have a really big, huge, fully extended finish. And then he told me that, and my dad, that he wasn't really teaching anymore, but that I should take lessons with Judy Ghilarducci. She was another, she was a huge influence on me. I would go see her maybe every other Saturday, and she, it was kind of an unofficial thing where she would set me up with a lot of golf balls, check my grip and give me a couple drills. And it wasn't like we were booking an hour long lesson, and my dad would give me a $20 bill and I would give her the tip, and we just had a really nice relationship, and it was pretty special, to start out that way.
That's remarkable. And from there, you end up becoming player of the year for the Northern California PGA. Tell me about your competitive spirit and what it's like to play against your peers, people you see at meetings, people you have known for years, and you guys tee it up together and the best man wins.
Yeah, I mean, as far as the competitive spirit goes, I think that kind of thing is sort of innate. I know my dad was probably an overly competitive type of guy, and I think that sort of got passed down to my brother and myself, and then my sister also. We just sort of get the blinders on, and I think in golf you've got to sort of temper the you got to be in control of your emotions and that kind of stuff. But the desire and the will to win is pretty strong still. And when I tee it up in any kind of tournament, I think that my juices are flowing. I've played in some really big tournaments, and I would consider the NCPGA tournaments, pretty big also, because they've afforded me the ability to play in the Barracuda Championship this year, by winning our section match play. So I got to tee it up in a real PGA Tour event this year. And I know that a lot is on the line. And then, because I won the Player of the Year, with that, I got an exemption into the upcoming AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am. So I'll get another PGA Tour start here in a little more than a month. And I've got a shot to play in the PGA Championship, which would be my first major. At 41 years old, I'm, probably on the downslope of my career, but it seems like the incentives and the things that are on the line are just as big as ever. And, I get pretty darn, fired up when I'm playing in these section tournaments.
We're talking with Tom Johnson, PGA. He's a teaching professional at Olympic Club in San Francisco. And Scott, to hear him talk about the opportunity to play in the AT&T, boy, that for someone like us, that sounds like the greatest thing in the world. But you got to wonder what it's like standing on the first tee with a tour player.
Still sounds like the greatest thing in the world to me, and I'm sure Tom feels that way as well. We know Tom Morton pretty well, Derek Zachman, who both, competed in the Barracuda at different stages, and so exciting for you to get to do that. And I can't even imagine like playing in a PGA Championship. That's going to be amazing. I'm curious, because the one thing I always hear from every head golf pro is that if you want to play golf, don't be a head golf pro, because there's just not time to practice. So how do you sneak in with your busy job there at Olympic Club and getting everything you want to do to be prepared like you'd like to be?
Well, I think that, the last part of it is kind of the catchphrase, right? Like I'd like to be would be to be full time, and not saying I want to, go back out on tour or anything, but in order to get into real golfing shape, yeah. I would need a lot more time than I have. And you're right that it's sort of like when you're in the business of golf, it's like one of those water, water everywhere and not a drop to drink kind of thing. You know, it's all around you, but you're not, you really have to segment some time for yourself. I call it Tom time. But there isn't a whole lot of Tom time. You know, I don't really have the chance to play golf. I might get to hit some balls here and there at the end of work. Sometimes when I'm doing playing lessons, I'll show my my student, you know, the technique that I want them to do. Or I think a lot of people are sort of visual learners and want to see, you know, what it is that they're doing and what it is that I want them to do. So I end up showing. I have a golf club in my hands, you know, every day I'm at work, so I never get too rusty. But I actually asked the same question to Mike Woods, you know, the head pro at Hagen Oaks when he was our senior PGA player of the year this year. And I said, well, you know, how are you doing it? Cause he really started playing well. And he said that if he only has 20 minutes, to practice, he's just really, really focused on his process and his routine and trying to make it as tournament like as he possibly can in his mind. And I just thought that was extremely valuable and great advice and advice that I'm going to heed when getting ready for the AT&T.
Well, you pulled out all the names today, Tom LaPresti,
yeah.
Ghilarducci, Mike Woods.
Yeah. Yeah. Hagen Oaks.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think people in Sacramento, I don't know if they know this, but Hagen Oaks is arguably the most successful golf course in America. And it's an extremely special place. You know, it's been a tournament site, for a long, long time to some really big tournaments and a lot of great players have started there. And you know, Ken Morton is the business of golf at Hagen Oaks it's just the most successful. I mean, when I was doing my schooling to get my Class A and PGA, Hagen Oaks was like the poster for how to run an operation nationally, you know.
Wow. Absolutely. And Ken basically did the entire education process for the PGA qualification as well. You know, that brings up the point that they just completed a documentary called 90 Years Young, and you can see it on YouTube, and it basically covers the entire history of Hagen Oaks from the time that it was a horse ranch up till today, and mentions many of the people that you've talked about. So I would encourage listeners to take a look at that, 90 Years Young on YouTube. Tom, one of the things I asked you on stage, and I was just, you know, I was really surprised how clear it was in your mind. I said, what was the best shot you ever hit in your life? And you knew the answer. What was interesting is some of the other players that won awards said, how come you never asked me that question?
But yeah. It was pretty neat. I mean, I did play 1 year on the PGA Tour in 2007. And one of my first tournaments was the AT&T at Pebble Beach, and it was on the eighth hole, which is, I think, probably the greatest golf hole on earth. Maybe the 16th at Cypress Point, you know, those kinds of holes where you're just on the edge of the earth. I mean, hitting a five iron, I was hitting a five iron over that giant ravine from like 200 yards. And I just hit it all over the flag and it landed and, you know, right next to the hole and finished about 6 inches behind the cup. And I remember thinking that's the greatest shot I've ever hit and probably will ever hit. And I remember my best friend's mother was she was spectating and she was going nuts behind the green and she was saying hole in one, hole in one. And she clearly didn't know a whole lot about golf because it wasn't a hole in one and it didn't go in the hole even, but it was just, you know, as good as it gets.
Yeah. If anybody wants to know if that's the edge of the earth, just ask Jordan Spieth on that eighth hole and where he was at.
You'll have to remind me.
When he almost fell off the cliff on number eight, trying to hit his second shot.
Oh, I do remember that. Yeah, God, it's scary. It really is.
That was so scary. I can't believe he hit that shot still, and I'm sure he would never do that again. I'm curious because you've played on the PGA Tour. Would you harbor a dream of maybe giving it a run when you became a senior at that level, or is that something that you would even envision?
I definitely have thought about that. But I also know what it's like to be on tour and basically to live out of a suitcase. And I burned out after doing it for 5 years. I was playing on the nationwide tour and then 1 year on tour. And I remember thinking out when I was out there that it didn't feel like what I had dreamed it would feel like. And it's a lot of sacrifice. I think if I was to do some kind of a career fair or something, I'd like to tell any aspiring professional athletes to think about the amount of games or tournaments and weeks away from home that are going to be involved. And it's tough too. I was just another guy. My best finish on tour was 18th. And there's a lot of things that I could have done differently, but now that I have a 1 year old son and I just really like being home at the end of each day, and he's changing, almost daily. So I can't imagine like being away from him for weeks at a time. So going out on the Champions Tour is not something that I'm planning on doing. It's not a goal of mine. I do want to compete, but not full time. It's pretty stressful, honestly. I mean, you're spending a lot of money if you're not making cuts too. I used to say 3,000 a week, but that's probably low now. I mean, flights, hotels, food for the week, caddy, probably looking at more like 4 or 5,000 a week. So I know the PGA Tour is talking about trying to compete with the live and paying guys a minimum salary of like 5,000 a week. I mean, that's just to offset your expenses. So, I mean, if
Right.
you miss a couple cuts in a row and you're going backwards, that doesn't feel good. It feels like, okay, we're as a business, I'm losing money. I'm not profitable. If I keep on missing cuts, I might go out of business. That's very stressful.
Yeah,
The
I can
business of
imagine.
golf, the business of golf. Tom, it's a 1 hour show, and Scott and I lament every week that we wish we had an hour for every guest. You've been
Frank,
delightful.
could I ask one last question just real quickly? How big is the membership at Olympic Club, Tom?
It's pretty big. I mean, we've got a
Yeah.
downtown athletic club, and we have also got, full golf privilege holders. So, and over 45 holes, we've got, we're able to kind of accommodate everybody, but it's over 10,000.
Put that in perspective, how busy he is, Frank.
Tom Johnson, PGA, thanks so much for spending some time with us. We'll be back right after this with Kimberly Kaufman from Angels for Hearts.
It's the Golf to Go Hour with Frank LaRosa.
Welcome back into the Golf to Go Radio Hour. We want to welcome Kimberly Kaufman. Kim is the founder of Angels for Hearts. And Angels for Hearts is a really spectacular pediatric cardiac care kids program that helps them regain a sense of normalcy either when they're in the hospital or during their recovery. And Kim, I don't want to steal Scott's line, but as he says, what you're doing is doing God's work. So thanks so much for being with us.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Scott. Thank you very much.
It's very deserving in this case, for sure.
Thank you. It honestly, Angels for Hearts kind of started, it was a blessing in disguise, if that makes any sense. In 2004, I was diagnosed with congestive heart failure and congestive, not congenital. So I wasn't born with anything. I just got the flu. And it went to my heart, went to my bloodstream, and then attacked my heart. And because I was 29, 30, and we had no family history of heart issues, they didn't look at my heart. They looked at every other body part for about 8 months. And everybody was looking at breast cancer and liver issues. And finally, it went from March of 2004 to transplant, like soon. And basically, we whisked away to Stanford, and it was December 1st. I was supposed to be there for one night for an angiogram, and it turned into 72. And they realized I had had a heart attack, that three quarters of my heart muscle was totally dead, And all of this had happened while they were trying to figure out what was wrong with me. But I just presented the wrong way. But then I presented as a textbook case for cardiac, but I was a young woman. So nobody looked at me that way. And like the doctors came up to my mom and dad, and my mom and dad said in the waiting room, it was truly the first time they were ever shocked and couldn't believe this was the news they were getting, that this girl who walked herself into the OR was so sick and they needed to put me right away, put in an pacemaker and defibrillator and go on the transplant list. And they started that. And then 2 years later, they took me off the list and put me in hospice. And I wasn't happy with that suggestion because I didn't understand, you know, how do you go from one to the other so quickly? And that night, if you know me, I'm a person that likes answers. I'm very literal. I don't like to have questions. I like knowledge. And my nurse couldn't, when she walked me around the unit that night, I never used to look in rooms because it was very scary if you've been in a cardiac intensive care unit. And that night I looked in the rooms and there were two kids and we were at Stanford in the adult hospital. And I kind of freaked out as to why there were two little kids with the big adults. And she couldn't explain to my satisfaction. So she went and got what's called a child life specialist, who I later learned is someone who helps kids learn about what's going on with them in the hospital in a non-medical way. So they do it through play therapy, or like they'll build Legos and make it a CAT scan machine or something. And they basically said the kids were fine. And now we know their mom and dad were probably in a sleeping room. They were safe. It was late at night. It was like 11 o'clock at night. But I said, I need to do something. This is what's happened to me. I have no money, but how can I help those kids? And it was November of that time. And they said, well, Santa Claus comes to the hospital. And I said, give me the lists. I'll make it work. And so my mom and I went to Target with $250 and these lists. And at that time, a lot of my friends were just starting to have kids. We didn't have any, I didn't have any nephews or nieces yet. And my mom and I spent $249.98. And we thought we had the biggest bags of toys that we delivered back to Lucile Packard to the Children's Hospital at Stanford. And this is 2006 now. And I just remember delivering them a couple days before Christmas because I had to have another surgery or procedure, and just said, these are from Santa Claus. I know I didn't even say my name because I just want him to be a kid in the hospital, just be a kid, because my life changed so dramatically from being a normal healthy person to a heart patient in an instant. My life went from, you know, being able to do things to not. And I just envisioned these kids that if I had to change my life, how were they? And it just kind of started and it steamrolled. And then the next year I was still in hospice and we wrote a letter to friends and family and we raised $5,000 as a project. And donations were all under $250. So they didn't have to have a tax ID. And we kept calling Lucile Packard saying, what else do you need? What do you need? And they just threw items at me because they didn't believe me that I had raised this much money. And we bought wagons. We bought DVD players, all sorts of stuff for Child Life and the kids and the parents and the families and all the items that these kids wanted from Santa Claus. And that year, we had four SUVs and we pulled up to the hospital and they had one volunteer to meet us. And I said, I think you're going to need a little bit more. He's like, I'm here for your bags. Now, mind you, the year before we had big bags, four bags, but now we have four SUVs full of toys. And he was like, okay, I'll be right back. And he came back with all the Child Life and they were just like, who are you? What did you do? And I said, I'm just Kim. And you asked for this, I made it come true. You know, it was just, you can't say yes if you don't ask.
What started with very, very humble beginnings has now grown into, what is it, 10 years now this program has been going on or something like that?
It started technically 2008 was our 501c3.
Okay, so it's more than that.
More than that.
Yeah.
We're almost 15.
And, you know, it's a remarkable story that this is basically a homegrown 501c3, and you recognized the need and decided that you were going to go out and try and fill those needs. But the program has developed into much more than you know, getting gifts to that hospital. I mean, you have the wishes, wants, and needs programs and Santa's wishes, and you also have a golf program.
Yes.
I Heart Golf, or I Love Golf. I'm not sure which it is, but...
It's I Heart Golf.
Okay. But what you do is, you were telling me the story the other day, or there was a story in the paper of a young man that was a soccer player and, you know, really enjoyed the vigorous sport and the conditioning, and found out that he had a heart condition and wasn't able to do that anymore. And didn't you introduce golf to him through your program?
Yes. We met Joseph. We start, you know, everything that we do has become out of a need from either child life specialists, the doctors, nurses, or parents saying this isn't being fulfilled. And then we go and fulfill it. And golf started at one of our events that we used to have quote unquote grown-ups would come and represent different occupations. And it was a party called When I Grow Up. So kids got to meet all the different people that represent the occupations. And we had Doug and Allie, who are golf professionals from Del Paso, come. And the kids were swinging golf clubs and they were hitting balls just right on point. And they'd never swung a club. And just the little plastic clubs into the bullseyes. And the doctors walked up. All the pediatric cardiologists said, this is a sport that our heart kids can play. And what we had began to learn is that heart kids couldn't play sports. They were very restricted. I was restricted, even like I couldn't vacuum anymore. Like vacuuming is very aerobic. Uh-huh. And you wouldn't think that. But when you have a bad heart, vacuuming becomes something you're not allowed to do because it's so cardiac. So heart kids can't play sports. And that, to me, growing up playing golf and softball, was like, oh, we've got to give them a sport. And so this happened in August. By October, Doug and Allie had already put together a sketch of a golf program. And we started that in January with 40 kids. And we had golfers that have been with us since we started. That was in 2014.
That's great.
And like, you know, Joseph just came to us at the end of the season this year, and he was a star soccer athlete. He's a junior at Mary Loma. He was already getting scholarships to colleges for academics and soccer. And in September, he wasn't feeling good, was having some headaches. August, was playing soccer. And he went in to have some routine CAT scans done just to check on his head because of soccer and doing headers. And they found out he had a congenital heart defect, that he was one of the kids that if he got hit in the right area of his heart, he could possibly die. And you hear about these athletes that have this condition where they get hit and they're just down. And he was one of them. And it's a congenital heart defect that is very well known, but you have to go looking for it because it doesn't happen until a certain age. And he had to stop his soccer career on September 1st. And he had to call.
And luckily Angels for Hearts came along. And I think this is the part where, as Scott says, you're doing God's work. You know, it obviously the stories are remarkable and very emotional as well, and you've been a part of it from the beginning. You know, you can't have all the fun. How can we help? What does Angels for Hearts need that you know, that our listeners might be able to help in any way, especially now during the, you know, this holiday season?
We need donations. Everything we do is donor based. If anybody, we need help with a website. I'd love to have someone that could, I'm just putting it all out there because if you don't ask, you can't say yes. I would love someone that can help us do our website on a continual basis. Right now, everything's done volunteer based. Everyone is family, friends, heart parents. It's all very much family run. And we're getting to that next stage to where we need to grow ourselves. But it's all donor based. I mean, right now we just did Christmas fundraising and we've raised about $15,000. And it all went right back to 5 hospitals within this last week. Everything we do, we have, what we're very unique at is our wishes, wants, and needs. So anything that the hospital's Child Life need throughout the year, we have this program called Wishes, Wants, and Needs. So for instance, at Sutter today, we just gave them $4,800 in gift cards of Amazon, Visa, Safeway, California Pizza Kitchen, different gift cards like that. So if there's anything a heart kid needs while they're in the hospital, Child Life can get it. They don't have to ask the parent. They don't have to ask the hospital. They have resources on hand. And that's where we're different and we're very unique is that, you know, when you have a business, you can't just go buy something because you need it. In the hospital, they can't go buy an iPad or go buy a video game. But if we give them some funds to make it accessible, we're helping families in ways that they've never been able to be helped.
Kim, I don't want our hour to run out before we let people know where they can send money or where they can find more information.
You can go to www.angelsforhearts.org. So it's all spelled out, angels with an S, then F-O-R, then hearts with an S.org. We're also on Facebook, Instagram, under Angels for Hearts. It's just getting word of mouth out there. And heart defects is the number one defect for children. 1 in 110 children born have a congenital heart defect. And you don't hear about heart kids.
Well, that, we did. We heard about it today on the Go Radio Hour. Kim Kaufman, as we continue to say, we want this to be an hour and a half show. We could talk more about the kids and what you need and what you've done for the program. But we appreciate what you've done so much for these cardiac patients and what you've done in the world of golf as well. So we wish you continued success. We hope that some of our listeners, especially in this holiday season, have a kind heart and we'll send something along to you. Thanks much for being with us.
Thank you so much for having us. We'll be back to talk about golf another time.
Thank you so much, Kim, and all our guests today on the Golf2Go Radio Hour. Back next week with more. Keep it in the fairway. Have fun. It's a game.